Welcome to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today we're talking queer, and not just in the LGBTQ way, but that is where we start. SB 1062 was an Arizona bill that would have allowed business owners to deny services of any kind to members of the LGBTQ community on the grounds of religious beliefs. It had been called the Jim Crow for gays. Here's what State Representative Demian Klinko, the only openly gay member of the Arizona House of Representatives, said about the bill to his colleagues.
I mean, if this bill passes in my hometown of Tucson, I could walk out of my home and call a taxi cab and they could refuse me service. I could have a medical incident and somebody comes to my home to provide services and I could be refused.
The bill passed the Arizona legislature, but it was vetoed Wednesday night by Governor Jan Brewer. Either way, damage has been done. Members of the LGBTQ community have been given the same message that undocumented immigrants heard from Arizona just 4 years ago. That is, you're not wanted here. So it seems fitting to begin our show by talking to someone who has spent his life fighting for basic civil rights for all. Anthony Romero is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. He's the first openly gay man and Latino to head the ACLU, and he was born and raised in New York City. Anthony Romero, it is just wonderful to have you back on Latino USA.
It's great to be with you, Maria.
The first interview that we did with you for Latino USA was within 48 hours after 9/11 had happened.
Yeah.
And remember. I want to go back and just take a listen to one quick cut from that very emotional interview.
It's true that not everything has been lost, but a lot is at stake. And when we look at what the government has done, just in a very short period of time, we have enacted a new law that allows the government to hold an immigrant for 7 days without charge. And that is a permanent change to our nation's immigration laws.
Anthony, you had just taken the job of leading the ACLU. What was it, the day before?
Yeah, like 9/11? the week before. It gives me goosebumps to hear the interview and to talk to you about it. It's incredible.
Because at that point, Anthony, I now, of course, this many years later, I realized that I was in shock.
Yeah, we all were.
I was a journalist in shock.
Yeah.
And you were the one who was calming me and telling me that we needed to remain committed and true to the core values of who we were as an American democracy.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think about what's gone on, right, Maria, over the last 13 years since that week on 9/11, you think about the massive deportations, you think about the detentions, you think about Guantanamo, you think about renditions, you think about drones and torture. It's really an incredible time. And now we're at a point where calmer minds allow us to have a more fuller conversation, where people say, wait a minute here, maybe we went a little too far. Maybe we did overreact in terms of what laws we put in place. I'm not sure I was so calm as you remember it, but maybe I'll take the compliment. I was a little scared, frankly.
And speaking about fear and concern, there was a lot of fear and concern about naming the first openly gay Latino man to run the ACLU. When you think about that, what about the other, where are we now at the other side?
I was 35 years old. I was young. I was experienced, but I didn't really have this level of experience. I had been an upper middle manager at the Ford Foundation, but now I'm in charge of the ACLU. And then a week later, the worst civil liberties crisis hits since the Second World War. And so there were a lot of people who had, some of them were very good, honest questions about, like, oh my God, can he lead us during this most important, tumultuous times? And, you know, there was some code. People were worried a little bit about, you know, am I tough enough? Can I handle the hurly-burly? You know, it's hard to imagine they would have said that to a straight guy. And then you'd show them. You don't really talk about it. You just do it. And I think that's the thing I've learned. It's just do it, and then people get surprised, and they forget.
Amazing progress on gay marriage.
Yeah.
One, I want to know if you ever imagined that it would happen
Never.
So quickly.
Never. Never imagined it would
happen. But
on the
other side, tremendous loss in terms of what's happening vis-a-vis Latinos and immigrants. So it's not so good.
Not so good for the Latino side. I mean, look how cynical it is on comprehensive immigration reform. Let me climb up onto a soapbox for you for a second, right? The Republicans now say that we understand that unless we do comprehensive immigration reform, we might confine ourselves to irrelevance in perpetuity. They know they need a Latino vote to win in national elections, and they do nothing. The Democrats know that the Latino base is their base, and I don't think they've done everything they need to do, certainly not the administration. And I think ultimately for the Latino community, we just have to stop being so polite and so nice, so appreciative. We got to put the helmet on, the elbows out, and start knocking some people down on the roller derby of politics and get what we deserve, which is a pathway to citizenship.
I've interviewed you several times. I've been very blessed to be able to do that, Anthony, and I always learn something. But there is this one moment that I wanna play from the documentary that played on HBO. It's called The Latino List, and it's you talking about your dad.
When I was a little boy, there was a fashion show to look at the new uniforms at the Catholic school. Put your hands on your waist, pivot, turn. I remember coming home and doing that before my parents, and my father got furious. Los hombres no se ponen la mano en la cintura. The men don't put their hands on their waist. So ever since then, you know, shoulders back, arms down.
Anthony, you know, your dad absolutely loved you, but he did say to you, he was like, mijito, you know what? I need you to stand with your shoulders back and don't put your hands on the hip. Don't put your hands on your hips.
Yeah. Yeah, my father was a very typical Puerto Rican guy, but he was very traditional. You know, he didn't like it. I remember I was washing the plates in my one Aunt Jaja's house, and he did not like the idea that I was washing a plate. You know, he was just one of these guys who wanted to make sure that his son was respected in the world. And the way he thought to teach me how to demand my respect was to carry myself a certain way. I think at the end of the day, my father taught me how to carry myself on the inside. He didn't do a very good job of how I carry myself on the outside. I still put my hands on my hips. I still love washing plates. I got to tell you, I have a great dishwasher. But I carry myself with dignity on the inside, Maria. And that's what my pops told me. So.
But the funny thing about it, Anthony, is that, you know, I started my career as a journalist and in college waiting tables. And I think you waited tables, too. And the both of us are like, well, you know what? If this really just goes all to heck, we can just wait tables together.
That'd be fun
to have you in my.
Yeah, we can have you in my station. You can take one. I take the tables. You take the bar, and we can serve up some justice.
That sounds good to me, Anthony Romero. Thank you so much for joining us again.
My pleasure, Maria. Be well. Bye bye.